Matthew chapter 14. This morning we're going to talk about the Apostle Peter. Peter was just a regular guy. He was a fisherman. He was called to follow Jesus and became an apostle and would be one that was considered in the inner circle with Jesus. But Peter made a lot of mistakes. Just a couple of examples. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he wanted to build a tabernacle for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And he was corrected by God. Said, "This is my son, hear him." The same in John chapter 13. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Peter jumps up and says, "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And Jesus corrects him and says, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll have nothing to do with me." Another example is right before Jesus was taken, he tells Peter, he says, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And he says, "No, I wouldn't do that." And we all know he did. Our story here in Matthew chapter 14, when he walks on the water with Jesus, I think it's really easy for us to focus on the negative and when Peter lost his faith. But this morning, I want to look at it a little bit different. And I want to use this as something good and something that we can learn from. So in Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Jesus is trying to get alone, be by himself. Verses 13 through 21, the multitude follows, and that's where he ends up feeding the 5,000. So we'll start reading in verse 22. "Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered to him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water with you.' And Jesus said, 'Come.' And when Peter had gotten out of the boat, he began to walk on the water with Jesus." So we'll stop right there for just a second. So the first thing I wanted to look at and I wanted to notice is the amount of faith that it took for Peter to get out of the boat. We all know that here in just a couple chapters or a couple verses, he starts to sink. But before that even happens, he did have the faith to actually get out of the boat and walk on the water. To our knowledge, this hasn't happened before. Even the ones in the boat thought that Jesus was a ghost. So obviously it wasn't something that happened every day. Just imagine the faith that it would have taken for you or for me to actually get out of that boat and walk on the water. If you would, mark your place there and turn with me over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We all know that faith is believing. But that's not all that faith is. If we look at James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' and you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So just imagine for a second being Peter. And he says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to the water with you. Let me walk on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And then he looks over the boat. It's like, well, you know, maybe let's get closer to the shore. Or Jesus, I believe that I can walk on the water, but I don't have to prove it. There's no action behind that. There's no works behind his faith. Believing alone is not enough. In James, if you keep reading in James, verse 19, so you believe there is a God, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. Do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? He goes on to talk about Abraham, how Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. How easy would it have been for Abraham to question God? Say, God, you promised me this son. I waited for years and years. Why in the world would I sacrifice him after you finally given him to me? But he didn't. We know that he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac because that's what God had told him to do. And we all know that he didn't have to in the end. He goes on and talks about Rahab toward the end of the chapter, how she was justified by her works. And the same with Peter. We look at Peter as he was ready and he was willing to get out of the boat and walk on the water. So if you go back to Matthew 14, verse 29 again, Jesus said, come. And when Peter had gotten out of the boat, he walked on the water to go with Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Okay, so now Peter has had this great act of faith. He's gotten out of the boat. He's walking on the water. But what happened? He lost his focus. He hears the wind. He sees the waves. And he gets scared. He took his eyes off of Jesus. How often does that happen to us today? How often do we start off on a Sunday morning, we're focused, we're locked in, but what about on Tuesday morning or Thursday afternoon? Are we still focused on Jesus? We're told to set our minds on things above. How often do we do that? We know that the storms are going to come. It's not if they'll come, it's when they'll come. We're told that over in the book of James in the first chapter. We know those things are going to come. But we have to stay focused, not only when the bad times come, when the storms are here, but even in the good. How often do we have everything going our way and we forget to keep our eyes on Jesus? One quote that I saw as I was preparing for this was, taking our eyes off of Jesus is the most dangerous thing that we could ever do, but it's also one of the easiest. So now back to our story with Peter. Verse 30, he began to sink. And what did he do? He cried out, Lord, save me. We know that we all fail. We know that we all fall short of the glory of God. When we do, we have to know where to turn. There's countless examples of this throughout the Bible. You think of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, how they would fall away from God, they would be taken into captivity, and then they cry out for God to save them again. You look at David in 2 Samuel. He had just committed the sin with Bathsheba, and then David had her husband killed in battle. Nathan comes to him and said, David, you're the man. You've done this evil thing. And David says, I have sinned. We look at Saul, how Saul was very devout in what he was doing when he was murdering and torturing Christians. Well, he was blinded on the road to Damascus, and he received the Holy Spirit and knew what he had to do. In Acts chapter 9, it says the scales fell from his eyes, and immediately he was baptized. He turned to God. The same with Peter. When Peter denied Jesus three times, he eventually was restored of that. But you can also look on the other side, You think of Judas and how he betrayed Jesus. And instead of turning back to God, he thought there was no way out, and he took his own life. We can't let our failures define who we are. And I just mentioned a second ago, we all fall short of the glory of God, and that's true. And the wages of our sin is death. But thanks to the mercy and the grace of God, we can be forgiven of that. And those failures don't have to define us. Verse 31, back in Matthew 14. After he said, "Lord, save me," look at what happened. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and called him. Immediately, Jesus was there. Jesus is always there for us. We just have to turn to him. So the final point is we have to get out of our boat. Just like the disciples were in the boat, Peter was in the boat, and he decided to take that first step. We have to have a faith in our lives that we can spiritually walk on water. We have to keep our focus, keep our eyes on Jesus. And when we fail, we have to know where to turn, and that's back to him. But what does it mean for us to actually get out of our boat? Well, I think that can mean a couple of things. Maybe you haven't been baptized. Maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus. All it takes is that first step. We looked at Peter and how, yes, he did fail, but he took that first step. He had faith. And like I said, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you need to be baptized. Just take one step at a time. Well, what about you have been baptized and you're not living as you should? You're still in your boat. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to bring your life back to Jesus. But I think there's also a third category for maybe some of us who come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. We're here, we do all the right things. But are we truly living for God? Are we truly following Jesus? In just a minute, we're going to sing the song Oceans. It's a song that we've been practicing downstairs, and we're going to use that as our invitation song in just a second. But before we look at the lyrics of that song, I wanted to read you something that was written from the author of that song. Wouldn't it be great to be like Peter? Oh, if God would only stir something up in my life. I would love to think that we would have done exactly what Peter had did and got out of our boat. But chances are we wouldn't have. We're not Peter when we see someone crying or living on the street. We're not Peter when someone new comes to church or when someone challenges our faith. We're not Peter when it matters the most. We're all stuck in our comfort zone. We're trapped, we're stuck in our boat because it feels safe. But is that truly living for God? So, as we close, we're going to sing the song Ocean for our invitation song. In the words of that song, "You call me out upon the water, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Your grace abounds in the deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters or wherever you may call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my feet will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. and I am yours, and you are mine. Where are you this morning? Are you still trapped in your boat? Can you truly say that, Jesus, I am yours, and you are mine? If you would, let's all stand, and we're going to sing this song, Oceans. And if we can help you in either way, come as we stand and sing.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where we may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in ocean's deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon you. Rise my soul, rest in your embrace.